And one of the common sort of sanity checks is, would I be happy? Like, would I send this to a friend or a family member to answer the question that this post has been built to answer? If a family member has this problem, would I be happy to send this piece of content to them? And if that answer is a yes, then that's great. You've probably passed that check.
Welcome to Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs, the podcast that shows you how to leverage the power of AI technology without wasting your time or selling your soul. Let's embrace making AI work for you. Hey, hey, my human friend, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Kinsey, and oh my gosh, I can't wait to share today's conversation with you. We were able to chat with John of Originality AI, and he founded an AI technology that actually tries to detect if a specific piece of copy was written by AI. And this was just such an eye-opening and interesting conversation. John shares how his software kind of works, and he shares why it really is so important, not just for the people who are hiring writers who really don't want their copy to be written by AI, but also for the books that are being published that was written by AI that may not be sharing the best information and or could be dangerous to people who are reading them. We also talk a lot about the relationship between writers or content creators and the people who are paying them to create content and how we can really navigate that relationship moving forward. And of course, John shares about false positives and kind of really demystifies, to use an AI word, what his software does and kind of both the relationship between the people who are using it and the people who it is being used on, so to say, right? So I really, really enjoyed this conversation, and I really think it's important, especially if you are a copywriter or a content creator of some sort, to listen to this so that you can kind of be aware of what may be happening, what may become a new normal moving forward, and how you can work with your clients who may want to use software such as Originality AI in a way that is transparent and, you know, doesn't cause any tension within your relationship or anything like that, right? So I know you're going to love this conversation. I know you'll find it to be super, super interesting. If you do, make sure that you share this with another business buddy who could also use to listen to it, and or share it to your Instagram stories. Make sure that you tag me. I am at Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs. If you tag me, I will be able to reshare it, give you a follow, and just continue cheering you on over there. And hey, while you're at it, why not leave us 5 stars or a friendly review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on? Because we really, really appreciate it. And it does help us to continue building our authentic AI community and just spread the authentic AI message. Okay, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive right in. Hi, John. Thank you so much for coming on the Authentic AI podcast. I'm so excited to bring you on the show.
Hi, Kenzie. Yeah, excited to be here. Always, always happy to geek out about AI.
Oh yeah, you're in the right place, man. But before we dive into all that, I did already introduce you just a little bit in the intro, but I'd love to hear from you. Who are you? What do you do? Who do you serve?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, so background is as a mechanical engineer, and then built up a sort of side business of content websites that turned into a content marketing agency, where we were getting paid by clients to have our writers build content and sell that content. And then we sold that agency and then had seen the need coming, and this predated ChatGPT, but the need coming for the ability to identify whether or not a human wrote a piece of content or an AI wrote a piece of content. And then that's where Originality.ai was born. And we serve anyone that's publishing content and they need to know if they were paying a writer $100 for that piece of content or $1,000. Was that copied and pasted out of ChatGPT in 5 seconds or not? So that's who we serve.
Oh, yes. And I have actually heard, you know, a few different stories about this sort of situation just from guests on the show here. And I can't wait to dive into the nitty gritty of all that. But let's just start off by kicking it off with, can you just explain to us what is Originality AI and what does it do for us?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a classifier. Or in AI terms, what is a detector that identifies whether or not content, it believes content was written by a human, or written by an AI. The way I explain it to people that sort of aren't AI nerds is that it's sort of like the good Terminator after the second movie, where it's an AI that's able to identify other AI. And then, you know, how it's built is it's a, you know, supervised learning fed millions of records of AI content, millions of records of human content, and then learns to tell the difference between the two.
Yeah, I know. This is just so interesting to me, too, because I have heard, you know, I think it's a really, I mean, important piece of software. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I've also heard of, you know, copywriters saying that their clients came back to them saying it was written by AI and they're like, but it wasn't, you know, or I think I heard another story about that recently, too. So kind of what are some of those indicators, I guess, that your technology is looking for when it comes to classifying AI or not AI?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the sort of, so yeah, happy to, we'll dig into false positives in a bit, because it's a critical topic and when AI detectors can be used or not. So it's kind of one of those really fascinating things with when it comes to AI is that you don't always understand, you know you built it, you know its performance metrics, but you don't exactly know what it's doing under the hood, the same way that ChatGPT has some surprises with what it can work. You know, we had a surprise. We had sort of an emergent property get revealed with our AI where we had never trained it on foreign languages, and then our core English detector, and else it became effective at detecting other languages, even though it had never seen it and we had never advertised that it should be used for that. So the short answer is we don't know. The long answer is previous detectors that were kind of called bag of word detectors were like, oh, it has this kind of punctuation, it has this kind of readability or perplexity or burstiness or some other metric that was related to human writing. Those no longer are effective, and we don't know what the patterns are that our detector identifies.
Wow. Okay. I love hearing this, because I think that also gives us, you know, it's not something that's probably talked about a lot when it comes to how these AI technology is created. And for sure, I have experienced some weird things with ChatGPT too. And it's just so funny to hear that, like, this really does have kind of a mind of its own, and we're kind of all figuring it out as it goes along and stuff. So yeah, we'll dive into some of those false positive things in a little bit, but let's start by, why don't you share, you know, why this is a really important technology? I know you have a story about the mushroom book that was thrown on Amazon and everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of like the really easy to understand need and use case for this, where it's like you're happy to pay a writer $100 or $1,000 for an article. You're not really happy to find out that they copied and pasted it out of ChatGPT in 5 seconds. I mean, that's a pretty simple sort of monetary, like if you're okay with using AI, then the value exchange between the writer and the person purchasing the content needs to be evaluated and made fair for everyone involved. So that's like the simple use case. But then beyond that, I mean, if AI runs wild in the world, what are the societal consequences associated with that? We did some work with the New York Times about travel guides that were AI generated recommending potentially dangerous suggestions on their trip. And then we did some help the Guardian do some research on where they were looking at books that were about foraging, about picking mushrooms. And one of the lines in the book was, if one of the ways to identify the type of mushroom was to taste it, which, you know, I think most people learn from a pretty early age that you don't eat mushrooms because they might kill you unless you really know what you're doing. And thinking about an AI book being the teacher of what is safe and not safe when it has no idea is scary. And so I think that, you know, and then the societal harm associated with election, mass propaganda, I think all becomes concerning. And so, you know, we're solving sort of the small problem from like a fair economic transfer between writer and publisher to hopefully trying to help address some of the alignment issues and societal harm that comes from this sort of explosion in use of AI that we have never had to deal with before.
Yeah, totally. I'm so glad we're talking about this, because it can be very like nerve-wracking and scary. And honestly, too, I don't think that a lot of people still realize, especially when they're just starting to use these tools, that like they can be wrong. They can spit out information that's like not the best, you know, not only like not factual, but also not aligned with the message or the strategy or the brand or whatever it is. And so, yeah, I'm a big proponent of having people bring their own expertise to AI tools and like using these tools as an assistant to help them along the way, and also being able to make sure that they themselves can understand if the output is correct or not, right?
For sure. Like, and I think, you know, sometimes people are surprised when I say, like, I'm not anti AI for content creation. I'm just pro the transparent use of it. And so we have some of our AI research team, our English as a second language, and use AI heavily in some of the writing that we publish and share, because they're doing exactly that. They're bringing their expertise, and then the AI is assisting them in making sure they're able to communicate the knowledge that they have.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's like so important to think about as well. And this is like one of those scary parts of it is like, okay, well, you know, if you are using AI and it brings you something that's like false and you just choose to believe it yourself, like, oh, well, like all in a way, but like the fact that sometimes like people are publishing guides or books on Amazon that could potentially cause harm to these unknowing people, like that's definitely something to keep in mind and definitely just like spread the word about at least.
For sure. I mean, one of the other studies that we've done that was sort of interesting in terms of where AI generated content is going and being used is in online reviews. And so we looked at online reviews. I think most people, if they were going to read a review, would, and they had a choice between read a AI generated review or read a human generated review, which one they would choose. And so what we found out was that in some review sites, up to 30% of reviews since the launch of ChatGPT are AI generated. Some of them are probably genuine and somebody just used it to make sure their English sort of was proper. Others are probably just fully made up and sound super convincing. And so, you know, it's a challenge where every time we go online now and we read a review, do we need to complete a Turing test where we're trying to figure out behind this screen, is it a human or behind this screen, is it a machine?
Wow. Yeah, that's so true. I know, it's hilarious. I've been, you know, using AI in different ways, testing different things. And I was using it to write a sales page for one of my offers. And I just had it like come up with like, you know, testimonials, suggested testimonials, whatever yeah. It could look like and stuff. And I was like, dang, these are good. Right. Dang, I kind of want to use, like, I wish I could use these in a way. But yeah, I know. I think it's hilarious how like convincing most AI tools are. Like, I don't blame people who like find it believable when it says something. That's why we need to keep talking about it. And I swear every podcast episode, I'm like, guys, it's not always correct. Just get that in your head. Remember, because it will try to convince you it is.
For a long time, your sort of our filter about is this content trustworthy and believable was, you know, it's like, oh, there's a spelling mistake in there. There's a grammar mistake. There hasn't been too many eyeballs on this. This is, you know, your hair would start going up. Your sort of your BS detector would start to increase. But now it's the opposite, where it's just so incredibly convincing and, you know, better written than probably 95% of the world can write, including myself. So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure. I know. And it is hilarious, though, too. Just I've been kind of sharing with people lately, like some of those definite like telltale signs that I can detect as like a human reader and an avid user of ChatGPT lately. Like, guys, don't use the word unlock. Don't use the word unleash. Like, those are all over the freaking internet. And it's pretty much a telltale sign that ChatGPT wrote it. Is there any other telltale signs that you have noticed?
So I'd say early, so 3.5 definitely still has some, like a lot of like in conclusion and because of, and therefore, like it's like they really sort of stress that, like that joining, like I think they seem to want to like merge from one thought to the next. And in conclusion, as a result of, like anything like that, sort of definitely seems to be common in an unmodified prompts. Around and 3.5 especially, but when you get into sort of 4 and tell it to write like X, then all of that sort of those human capable signs start to disappear.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk a little bit about who might want to use originality AI and like in what ways and stuff. You know, is your software mostly for like kind of the bigger companies, and or like, is it for someone who's trying to test a review to see if it's real or not?
Yeah, so we have a pretty shocking sort of range of users from everything you just described, and then some really odd ones that we never thought of. We're building for the world of content marketing. So where people get a piece of content from a writer, need to make sure that piece of content meets certain specifications and then get it published. So we have we're building a fact checking solution. It's live and in beta. It's not perfect, but it sort of helps with the fact checking process, readability, spelling, grammar, sort of all those kind of features are what we're building into originality. And so it's really for that marketing professional that gets a piece of content, is going to be publishing it on their site, and they need to make sure it meets certain standards.
Yeah. And I know that you had mentioned the recent-ish Google update. Can you share a little bit about why this is so important and how it can affect SEO and all the things?
Yeah. So the update is we're over 24 hours now, but it was announced March 5th. Started being rolled out. It looks like they led the way with a ton of manual actions. And so what those are is manual actions that resulted in the de-indexation of a bunch of websites. And so what that is Google has said, you're doing something against our policies. We're going to remove you from our search results. And then they completely remove these websites. Our team has gone and done a ton of research to identify, we've identified it 1,500 websites that have had this manual action be applied to them. And then we have dug into the most popular ones, to the most impactful ones, to look at, was this targeted at AI? And what we saw was that 100% of the websites that we identified had published articles that were highly likely to have been AI generated within their last 100 posts. And over half had 90% plus of their articles being fully AI generated according to our tool. And so what that sort of pretty clearly showed to us is that Google's view on AI generated spam is that they're going to come after that with what looks like one of the most aggressive strategies and sort of widespread manual actions that I can recall. And there certainly seem to be attempting to not just like communicate this, but send a message with the sort of like, you know, lack of a better word, but public assassinations of websites for this abuse of AI generated content. If someone uses AI and they write with that AI and it adds value to the users, is that at risk? I think Google says that's great. I mean, Google's a heavy user of AI themselves, but if you are publishing large volumes of content and that content is heavily generated by AI, that risk profile is, I think, was already high and has massively increased over with this update.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad that we I know it is kind of this weird gray area, isn't it? Where it's like, this doesn't mean you can't use AI tools to write blogs and stuff, but it's like, yeah, it's, and I read the update too. It's like ensuring that it is not spammy and that it is helpful to people and stuff like that. So yeah, do you have any thoughts about like, if you are like a small business owner and or working with someone and you're wanting to write blogs and not get hit by Google and stuff with AI, do you have any thoughts about like how you might go about doing that or anything?
Yeah. So I think for sure it's a spectrum, right? It's always the case, right? It's like in Google, it's hard because it's like backlinks are bad. Like, backlinks are pretty darn important in Google. Certain kinds of backlinks are really bad. Certain kinds of use of AI is bad. How do you tell the difference? Which I think is your question is exactly the right question for us to think through. And one of the common sort of sanity checks is, would I be happy? Like, would I send this to a friend or a family member to answer the question that this post has been built to answer? If a family member has this problem, would I be happy to send this piece of content to them? And if that answer is a yes, then that's great. You've probably passed that check of helpful. That being said, you need to be, I think, careful to not twist yourself into knots where you can say, hey, but my prompt adds value and therefore I can publish 1,000 articles a day and they're all helpful. That's probably not true. You're probably doing a bit of mental gymnastics to get to the point to say that these 1,000 articles that I pumped out without any human review because of my prompt and my enrichment of data are all truly helpful. Probably not true. But if you're happy to send it to a family member to solve their problem, then that's probably a good filter.
Oh, I love that like tangible kind of process that we can take because, and I love that too. That's exactly that's what I say to people a lot of times is like, whenever I'm reviewing my captions or something for Instagram, like I go back through and I'm like, would I want to read this? Like, that's kind of how I go through and I'm like, okay, am I getting bored with my own writing right now? Like, okay, let's change this up so that I can make it better and stuff. And that's essentially the same thing with the blogs that you're saying. But I love the family member twist too, because I do think it's hard a lot of times for people to think about like it from their own perspective. And it's like, would you send this to mom, you know, to help her? Well, then yes, you know, like I love that. So that's a really great way to think about it. And to just like ensuring that you always, always, always have at least one read through as a human being of whatever the heck you're putting out there that's coming from ChatGPT, right?
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, there's an interesting concept called sort of the fuzzy line of competency of AI, where it's not clear. It's like spreadsheets, you know what they're capable of. The boundary of what AI is capable of doing and not capable of doing is not crystal clear.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I kind of want to talk a little bit about like let's talk about relationships between maybe like content creators or copywriters and clients in a way, right? Because it seems like, you know, your tool is very helpful for people who are wanting to make sure that the content wasn't written by AI, and like there's also copywriters and content creators who like AI is really helpful, and like, what if they're transparent with their clients and all the different stuff? So, do you have any thoughts about how clients and copywriters could communicate with each other about this stuff?
Yeah, so it's we thought when we were building this that this was a tool for the writers, and we still think it is. Like that's because if we're in a world where a writer is competing with somebody that doesn't speak English but can copy and paste, where do you still extract value from completing your craft? But if your craft becomes indistinguishable. So I think that's who we are really truly trying to help, because it creates transparency between the writer, the publisher, an agency, and the customer, whatever that sort of transaction is from writer to the person that is ultimately receiving that piece of content. And so we aim to drive transparency through that system. The challenge that we face, and maybe we can talk about false positives now, is that classifiers are never perfect. Our tool is not perfect. There's a lot of misleading marketing from AI detectors that claim sort of 0.01% false positive rate. That's wrong. It's just not true. There's no we've tested them all across tens of thousands of data sets or tens of thousands of data points, and it's just not no detector has that level of false positives. We definitely have the highest accuracy rate and sort of in class false positive rate, which is like a 3% false positive rate, which is higher than we want, and we know it causes pain with writers who write a piece of content, send it to their editor, and get told that it was AI generated. It's painful. We get that. It sucks. We're trying to make it better. It's unfortunately the world that we live in now, where I think the alternative of a world with no AI detectors and where AI detectors are gone is you're now needing to compete against anybody that can copy and paste out of ChatGPT for a large percent of writing assignments. And that's not a great world either. So that's how we view it. We've also are trying to do stuff to help writers. So we have a free Chrome extension. So we know false positives happen. And then we have a guide on what you can do if you get accused of a false positive, where we have a Chrome extension that goes into like all the nitty-gritty metadata of in that Google document, in a Google document, and then recreates the whole writing experience. So you can send a report to show, if I wanted to use AI, I wouldn't have spent 3 hours painstakingly writing this document. And here's some data that says there are false positives. Here's my historical documents that show I don't use AI. This is not, I did not use AI. And we found that to be helpful. Imperfect. We'd love our classifier to be perfect. We're working on that, but I don't think we'll ever get there.
Have you been feeling frustrated trying to get ChatGPT to sound like you? You know this is an awesome tool you can use for so many things in your business, but you're tired of wasting time going back and forth only to end up with generic copy that sounds like a robot wrote it. Our new brand persona for ChatGPT mini course will help you hone your brand's unique voice with the help of ChatGPT, so you can get ChatGPT to dish up content ideas that are perfect for your brand and write copy that sounds just like you. With this quick, easy, and actionable mini course, we'll walk you through the process of training ChatGPT for your brand. So in less than an hour, you can turn ChatGPT into your amazing new assistant, content creator, copywriter, brainstormer at a minuscule fraction of the cost. So why wait? Sign up for our brand persona for ChatGPT mini course right now at authenticaiforentrepreneurs.com/mini course. And in less than an hour, we'll get your ChatGPT to sound just like your brand and work authentically for your business. Yeah, yeah. And for sure. Oh, I'm remembering the other story that I heard about the false positive. I think I just read it in a newsletter or something, but like some student's dissertation was claimed to be like written by AI, and then she was like, what the hell, I had to go back and like kind of try to prove my notes. And like, but it's like, it's also really good to think about these sort of, I think that's why like it is great to maybe for content creators, copywriters, to ask up front, like, is this something you're concerned about? Like, do you want me to prove my workflow, my notes? Like, you know, just being like aware and like being able to show that from the beginning. And do you find that like if anyone is like in that situation where they're like working with a writer and they're like wanting to test it to make sure it's not written by AI, like is there any scenario where it could be like partially written by AI and that's still okay? Or is it like just fully not written by AI is what it needs to be?
So we have two models, and we're working on a third where because people make those decisions, right? There's some people, law firms are an example, where they don't want to have any chance that AI has touched the work that they are producing, and they want to use, we have a model called 3.0 Turbo, which is sort of if any AI tool touches it, the content, it can often get triggered. And then we have our 2.0 standard, which is sort of more tolerant of AI editing. So if somebody writes it themselves and then uses Grammarly heavily, 3.0 is not, our Turbo model is not, is sensitive to that, and we'll detect it. Our standard model will be like, yeah, AI editing, you know, light AI editing is allowed. And then we're working on another model that is sort of, we want to make sure that humans were involved in this, the creation of this document. Probably a cyborg approach to the document, but we want to make sure that like there is some human component involved, and that this wasn't just a copy and paste job. And so that's sort of like we're seeing that evolve into the use case that people want, where it's like I want to pick what this relationship is between a writer and AI and the product that I'm receiving, and I want to make sure everyone gets compensated and gets a fair economic sort of transaction within that relationship.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear, like that you guys are creating kind of like different levels. And also I love like the tool for the Chrome extension that you're creating as well, just to be helpful, just because like, exactly, it's not like you guys are trying to, I can see where some copywriters and or like writer editor relationships might be a little bit like tense and stuff, you know, yeah. So it's nice that you're helping try to like just make the relationship still smooth while still ensuring that like the stuff we're putting out there is helpful to the people we're sharing it with and stuff. That's really nice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think there's also a lot of misconception around those accuracy rates that get claimed by some tools. And I think there's teachers, I think, have been the most susceptible to this, where they're trying to apply sort of a plagiarism checker level of certainty to detection scores. And that just doesn't work. And there are false positives. And I think there's some people that sort of like miss that fact and then try and apply them as if they were a perfect tool. And that's where I think a lot of the sort of like the misuse on both sides of like they're too confident it works really well. And then there's people that are like, it doesn't work. It's not perfect. They don't work. I can't trust them. It's like, well, they're not perfect, but they do have an extremely high level of accuracy.
Yeah. And it's just helpful to have conversations like this where we can clarify that too and speak to both sides. Because yeah, it's easy for whoever's on either side to think they're right, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I actually was talking with an editor, I believe, of a magazine in my local town where I live and stuff. And he was kind of asking the question, like, So we have all these interns and they like are freaking using AI tools and it's super annoying because then they're sending the stuff to me as their editor and I'm like, this is pretty crappy. You know, he's like, how can I help my interns like better be able to work with AI tools like in a way that like I, you know, and my response to him was, I really think that people like we as a culture need to get better at revising and editing copy. Like we're taught writing in school, or at least I was in elementary school, you know, but like the revising and editing part of it isn't like a natural skill that a lot of people have. And I think that's like really, really important as more of us are starting to use AI tools to help us write copy is to like, what makes a good piece of copy and how can I edit it? But do you have any thoughts about his question?
That's interesting. I mean, I think comes back to some of the stuff that we talked about where it's like, is that allowed? Like, is there a policy within that company that says this is acceptable use and this is non-acceptable use? And so my guess is a lot of places we're all struggling with this internally within our companies on the right usage and the speed at which we need to sort of be managing what is allowed, not allowed. And so I'd say that clarity between the person creating the content and the person getting the content and what they're after is probably the starting point that I would always say to look at and what's been communicated. In terms of how to educate them on what's acceptable and not acceptable, I don't have a great thought other than, like, I get this sort of back to like, would you be happy to send this? Like, look, Mom, I was published. Right? Would you be proud of the content that you've just sent to your editor to share, or are you just trying to hit numbers?
Yeah, for sure. I know. I'm like laughing over here because I'm just like thinking of like the lazy high school interns who are like, oh, this is fine. Yeah. And you get it and you're like, right. Oh, this is crap, you know? But yeah, I think for sure you're so right. It's just like policies, boundaries, things that we haven't had to think about necessarily like putting into place before these tools are becoming more mainstream. And now you just have to think about it for yourself and have those conversations. But I have loved this conversation. Before we you share all the links and all that different stuff, I did want to ask you about like pricing plans as far as Originality AI and stuff. What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so there's a monthly subscription at $14.95, and then you can buy one-off credits. Each credit scans 100 words, and each credit costs one cent. So basically 1 cent to scan 100 words.
Yeah, that's great. Do you guys have a free trial at all or anything like that? Or
Yeah, there's a 50 credit free trial to try. And then there's the AI detectors. There's a limited version that's free on the site.
Okay, great. And so for anyone who is wanting to check out Originality AI or connect with you, can you please share how they can do that?
Yeah, so go to originality.ai to sign up. And if you want to connect with me, my email is john@originality.ai. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, Kinsey.
How awesome was that conversation with John? I really, really thought it was so interesting and really opened my eyes to the different ways that we really need to be aware of AI written content and copy. And also, even if it is like a little bit scary, if you are a copywriter, a content creator, I know that it's important for us to understand what we can kind of expect when it comes to the relationships between your editor and writer, right? Or just, you know, be aware of the conversations that we need to have, the policies that we need to create within our culture moving forward in these different industries, just because that'll be so, so helpful to really just be transparent with it, upfront about it, and all that stuff, right? So I hope that you loved it. And if you did, don't forget to leave us 5 stars or a friendly review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, because that really does help us to continue building our authentic AI community and just spread the authentic AI message. All right. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will catch you next time I catch you. Thank you so much for tuning into Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs, my friend. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your shows.